And I think we can be encouraged by that, that he hasn't got weary of all the problems I cause him. He hasn't got weary of the difficulties you may cause him, the difficulties you may cause other believers. He hasn't grown weary of that. He's still ready and willing and able to help, to encourage, to take us on. He has not worn out at all. And then we have the vesture. I'm looking now in back in Hebrews, but it's also in Psalms, about this vesture. As I came across this word, two portions come to mind about a vesture. One of them in the Old Testament, Pharaoh, he put a vesture of fine linen on Joseph. And in the New Testament, the Lord sees that they casted lots over his vesture. And it's perhaps a different subject, maybe digressing a little, but if we just think of those two thoughts, that the world, as it were, pictured in Pharaoh, gave something that wasn't theirs to give, Joseph being a picture of Christ. And then in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, sorry, the world taking something that wasn't theirs to take. And we see how the world changes, but the Lord himself does not change. So we see that the world loves change. Going back to garments, the world likes a new fashion. Every now and then they want something new. Apple likes a new fashion. They bring out a new Apple every so often. Everyone wants to keep up with it. Thankfully, the Lord has not changed, will not change. And to us, it shouldn't be a case of a fashion item or something. We heard this morning from what our brother Rice said this morning. Sorry, Sam Rice. Where is he? Sorry. That, oh yeah. Sorry, brother. That we have the latest, the best technology. We have access to the best. And this technology was better from the beginning of time than anything that will ever come. And we have it at our disposal. Something so wonderful. It's better than the most fashionable item we can carry. And again, just as a slight digression, I was challenged with something that I heard recently about smartphones. And I find it true of myself. But how often, when we, and some of you may have seen this and read about this as well, when you leave the house, oh, I forgot my phone, you run back and get it. When you're driving somewhere, let me see what's going on in the news. Let me see how my sport team's doing. Let me see if I got any emails, which is what I often do. Let me make a call. Let me do this, that, and the other. Everywhere we go. And I think, again, this morning, our brother Rice said, first thing we do in the morning, and I did it this morning, got my phone up just to check who emailed. We're always checking. But what about our Bibles? We leave the house. Eh, there's a Bible at the hall, I get that. Are we checking it very often? I know I'm guilty a lot of not doing it as much as my smartphone. Times a smartphone smarter than me. But there are times when we pay so much attention to a smartphone. And perhaps another challenge is this smartphone has so many functions. And it's beyond me, many of them. I can take pictures with it. I can phone. I can email and the rest. I have no idea. But you give it to some of you millennials here, some of you younger folk, I'm sure you can find all kinds of great things to do with it. Within a matter of hours, you may have read through all the instructions how to use your smartphone. What about this tool of communication? How many times do we read through it? How many times do we want to understand what's in it? I was thinking as I came up here that nothing's changed in the Word of God. Nothing's changed. So it's not like we're trying to read a moving target. We're not trying to see what the latest new trend is in God's Word. Nothing's changed. But are we giving the time, consideration to look into it as much as we may do our smartphone, or as much as we may do our favorite football, baseball, basketball team, whatever? Do we spend the time looking into God's Word and getting our communication with God? We need to spend time looking into it. So we continue on. I digress at times, sorry for that. But if we continue on to the thought before us of this unchangeableness of the Son of God, I challenge each one of us to what is our response to this? What is our response? And I just want to reference one verse in Ephesians to what our response, I trust, may be. And the thought here is that we have before us the one who is the same from the beginning of time to the end, is not changing. And in a minute we'll consider the various changes in the world today. But if we just focus on the Son of Man, the Son of God, that Blessed One. Ephesians chapter 5, just the beginning of verse 1. I trust that this is our response to that one who stays the same, the one who will never change. Be ye therefore followers of God. I encourage each one of you not to go after all these moving targets out there. As we know, sadly, there are many religions. Mention was made of some of them earlier today. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Roman Catholicism, many denominations, religious sects or groups that are created. Two things I think they may all have in common. One is their founders are all dead. The other is none of them offer eternal life. They offer a nice, peaceful life. They may offer you to come back as an animal or something, but none of them offer eternal life. And why would you want eternal life if the leader's dead anyway? We have eternal life, all who believe in him, with the one who is the same, the Son of Man. We will see him in the glory. He will come soon to take us all to be with him. So I trust that our response in the meantime is not that we are following the world, not that we are looking for other fashions, other denominational groups that may attract us. If we look in Scripture, there are no new changes in ideas. It stays the same. We learned earlier today about the Word. It is the same. There are no changes. We don't need to change ideas, and as we get older, get more liberal or get more conservative, whatever it may be. We should be followers of God, and we learned in our Bible study how we should have the mind of Christ in us, how we should live our lives until he comes. We need to remain consistent. We need to remain focused on the one who does not change. And you'll find as you are going to that goal, so long as it doesn't move, it's going to be an easier pathway to follow. If you're looking around here, there and everywhere for some kind of new fad that may satisfy your heart, something that may appeal to you, you're chasing after something which will appeal to the flesh. And that won't get very far.